anyway, welcome to today's edition of $2 Domestics with Chuckles and Philip Android.
Hello, hello. Maybe you're noticing and appreciating the increased sound quality. Who knows? Actually, maybe when we do the mix down at the end, it's going to sound like shit. But we're trying a new setup. And I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We're excited for it. I'm excited. I don't mean to speak for Chuckles' emotions. That's a dangerous game to get into.
Truly is. Truly is. That is one cesspool you do not want to swim in.
Oh, gosh. Full of vitriol and idiots. Or is that Twitter?
I don't even know anymore.
But, oh, I was trying to quote Merritt.
With Merritt. No, but yeah. Today I found on Twitter that Glenn Beck, right? So we're actually recording from the number one, what did he call it? The number one worst city in America. Or the city you want to avoid like the plague. That's what it was. Portland, Oregon. The number one city you want to avoid like the plague.
That is according to Glenn Beck?
According to Glenn Beck.
Oh my God. Have I told you recently over beers how much I hate Glenn Beck? See, there's not just the stuff he says, but because of when I worked at a movie theater, I worked at a Regal Theaters for a long time. We had these TVs in the lobby, and it would play cinema sounds where companies could take out renting time, and we'd have to listen to about a 3-minute loop over and over and over again for, you know, a 10-hour shift. And Glenn Beck, every 3 months, would take out for his newest special, The Christmas Sweater or something. And he would do inspirational things about how you should be a better person or about how this country's going to hell or everyone's going to die. And it's, if anything can make working at a movie theater worse during the holiday season, it was Glenn Beck.
You know what? I'm not going to sit here and humor your pain because when Glenn Beck got famous, like when he became Fox News Glenn Beck, I was attending BYU, Idaho, in Rexburg, Idaho. 99% voted for George Bush in 2004. Huge Tea Party contingent. And Glenn Beck was like the most popular political pundit there because he was Mormon and it was a huge Mormon population, but just because they are so far right. Like, I went to a militia meeting there one time, like a legit, like... because we don't laugh, like we went there for the spectacle, like there was this guy named Rex Rammel, and he said that he wanted to hunt Obama, like he wanted to get Obama hunting tags, and he made national news. And so then me and my hippie friend Garrett were like, we might as well go check this guy out. And they went to one of his rallies
and you left a convert.
And it was one of the most, like, I hadn't been, like, that, like, on edge ever. Like, it was a truly uncomfortable situation, and my chest just hurt. Like, just angry, vitriolic white dudes just going off. Like, it was amazing. It was amazing.
I feel like at that point, though, so, I mean, it depends on how you approach it, right? Because, like, if you intentionally seek it out kind of as a funny thing, at that point, you have... the ability and the right to approach the entire thing as a joke. And so it's one of those things where you just have to laugh at the world, especially in instances like that.
Oh, yeah, we totally went in there as tourists. Like, that was our whole purpose. Like, he was, my friend was from Chicago, you know, and, like, I grew up in Cascadia, so it's one of those things where, like, we wanted to go see what this element of America was like, and I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same.
Well, on that note. So, wait. So, just to recap. Last episode, we started off by talking about Trump.
Right.
This episode, Glenn Beck. So speaking about Trump, did you see that map that a bunch of people liked on Twitter about presidential candidates that were Googled most by states?
No, I did not see that.
Okay.
One.
So, I have a theory. So, if you look at the map, every single state except for Washington and Oregon is red, and red meant Donald Trump, and Washington and Oregon, of course, is Bernie Sanders, the most Googled. But I kind of feel like those results may have been skewed because of all the influx of people that were seeking out Donald Trump after our podcast. So I mean, nationally, we threw off the... So someone spent a lot of time, and unfortunately, they got contaminated numbers, unless they were looking for the influence of underground podcasts.
Right.
So...
we're a pretty big deal.
You know? I mean, obviously. Donald Trump, I know you listen to us. So if you want to come on the show and react to that, anything we said, or Glenn Beck for that matter. Can you imagine having those guys on here?
Oh, I would love to have Glenn Beck on. You know, his daughter actually went to school at the same time that I was there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and so that's what was so funny, because, like, I'd go home and for lunch and, like, eat my macaroni and cheese and watch his show on Fox, and he would talk about how his daughter had to, like, put up with this, like, super liberal progressive agenda at her university.
And you're like, where?
I'm like, where is, like, I can't wear shorts on campus because it's not Christ-like. Like, where is this talking
about you specifically? Like, the oppressive liberal agenda is Chuckles.
Yeah, they're like, you know, like... there's this one guy there.
Do you know what I bet? I bet that Trump and Beck would be pro-rel supporters.
Actually, what's his name? One of the minority owners of RSL is a general authority in the church. I remember that because he came and talked to one of our things one time, one of our church meetings, and talked about owning Real Salt Lake. And actually... one of the missionaries that used to come, because when you don't go to church very often, they start sending cookies and stuff. And,
oh, yeah.
And one of the missionaries that came to my apartment, he started one of the youth teams that was eventually picked up by RSL and became part of their youth system.
So which pretty, is a pretty great youth system.
Right? Yeah. Like, yeah. They don't mess around. And he was a good guy. I like him. He's a good guy. He didn't get me to church, but he did convert my girlfriend at the time, so cheers to him.
Well, and he contributed, I imagine, to the growth of soccer in America.
Amen
to that. So, speaking of pro-rel, there's some new rumblings about how they might actually happen in America in our lifetimes. You read this? You there?
Sorry. Checking my phone. Yeah, so the article about pro-rel. So the setup that we have right now is that you have MLS in the top division, NASL in the second division, USL in the third division, and then NPSL in the fourth. So currently you have MLS partnering with USL, which is first and third, and now what we're hearing and people are coming out more and talking about it, is the fact that you have second and fourth, NASL and NPSL, striking up a partnership basically for survival, is what it sounds like.
Well, I mean, they're gonna have to do something. I mean, because it's one of those things they're not going to be able to combat monetarily. I mean, hopefully, I mean, so that's the thing. In an ideal world, soccer would take off to astronomical levels in the U.S., and there would be enough attention to go around. And so hopefully second and fourth, you know, if they could maybe get enough attention. But one of the ways they're going to do this is creating a partnership and then out of necessity trying to do something flashy and different than the MLS, and that would be promotion relegation.
Well, not only that, when you look at the part that stands out to me is, like, when I look at MLS expansion,
mm-hmm.
It's so predictable. Like, if you want to know where MLS is going in terms of their expansion, get a list of the top media markets and then find which ones don't have MLS teams yet, and that's where they're going to expand. I mean, like,
pretty much.
And so it's not like a big surprise. But when you look at, like, this is the other big thing, the other big noteworthy thing of the week is that the NPSL final, fourth division soccer, their final had 18,000 people in attendance. Chattanooga. Well, in Chattanooga. That is not like a major market. And they pulled in 18,000 people to watch fourth division soccer. Amateur soccer. Right.
And I guess it was a hell of a game. I think Chattanooga lost 3-2.
It was really entertaining. It was really entertaining.
The cool thing is about that, so the week before that, so that shattered the record, which was the record they set the week before, which was 9,000 people, which shattered the previous record. So it wasn't just a one and done. I mean, it was, you know, the previous week was, I mean, it's half as much, but 9,000 people is still huge for fourth division. Hell, I mean, Chivas USA would have loved to have 9,000 people. I don't know. Maybe they did. I don't know what their numbers were. But, and, yeah, that's massive.
And, I mean, and obviously they need to mention is Detroit City, right? Detroit City is probably top of the game right now in terms of supporters groups and supporters culture. And they're an NPSL. They are a fourth division team. And they are just on top of their game right now. So I really like the idea of maybe, you know, in addition to bringing in the pro rel element between, mm-hmm. you know, NASL and NPSL, is that they're still going to continue kind of being the anti-MLS, where they're going to look to these underserved markets and let these independent teams pop up. And, like, they have a chance. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of like what promotion and relegation is there for, is that if you want to start a team, like, you can be an amateur NPSL team, and if you make it, you make it. Like,
and the interesting thing about it too, it's not going to be the traditional three up, three down, or, you know, whatever. I mean, I guess the traditional depends on what league you're comparing it to. In the article, I talked about the bottom team from the upper division would play against the winner of the lower division, and they would have a playoff against each other, which is an interesting take on it. It's not necessarily you automatically go down if you hit the lowest level. Mm-hmm. If you finish last, you have an opportunity to play off against them. So it wouldn't necessarily be super free flow up and down. I think it would add a little bit more stability for some of those teams in the upper division, which would mean it wouldn't be necessarily as much of a financial risk to drop, you know, and it I guess it depends on, you know, what you call financial risk too, because it's not like they're dealing with huge TV deals.
Well, it currently NASL does have the partnership with ESPN, right? All their games are currently on ESPN3 that you can watch. Like, I've been enjoying that, because, like, when an MLS game is blacked out, yeah, MLS Live, you suck. When one of their games is blacked out, I go and watch NASL. They know their niche. They know what they're doing. And, like, I'm totally up for it, because that's what we need. Like, for me, what I'm most worried about is, like, MLS succeeds and it becomes like Major League Baseball, and you see just the complete annihilation of independent minor league ball, you know, like, and that's what I don't want to see. I want people to actually go out to their minor league teams and see teams competing for a real title that they're all invested in, instead of individual players just getting development so in hopes that they can someday play for the first tier teams. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you loud and clear, and I agree. I think it's going to be interesting. It's one of those things that, you know, everyone always throws out as a joke subject, you know, on social media. But it might actually, you know, it's one of those things where, like, it's an interesting way that it could happen, because it's frankly never going to happen in MLS. So with the structure that it's set up, the owner groups, it's just not going to. But if you could have a separate one, I wonder. I mean, so let's play this out. So best possible outcome here. They join up. They start doing this. It gets successful. Soccer continues to grow in America. And then that second division in ASL maybe start, I mean, that's always their goal, has been to challenge the MLS. And once you have a noisy enough neighbor challenging, then you have to start looking at the possibility, and this is maybe 40 years down the line, of the two leagues joining. I'm no sports league history expert, but that's what happened with the NFL, I believe. Hockey, I think, did a similar thing. Basketball and baseball, they're all different leagues that kind of were developing around the same time, grew in stature and challenged each other and then joined. So it'll be interesting if this takes off, if this is successful, if the sports continues to grow in about 20, 30, 40 years, if they end up joining, if things end up changing drastically, that this is kind of the moment, you know, that they started talking about it. Well, yeah, we'll see.
And another point of importance to mention is that you already see these partnerships. I mean, Chattanooga was playing Cosmos B, right? Like, it was the Cosmos development team in NPSL, which is very like similar to how MLS currently has it with USL.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting contingencies that I saw in the ProRail plan is that if they went through with it and it was happening, teams that had those partnerships with the team, like the first tier team or whatever, like the NPSL team, or sorry, the NASL team, is they actually wouldn't be able to qualify for ProRail even if they won the championship.
See what I'm Which saying? Is similar to, Germany and Italy and Spain have similar things. You know, Real Madrid B and C and D, you know, they have different levels of those teams even if they win the second division, they're not allowed to go up. The place would then get passed to the next person, so whoever finishes second and is eligible to go up, they would do it. I'm all for it. We'll see how it goes.
And I think, really, to be honest, we just got done watching New York City FC BBQ LOL whatever, the team with the most ugly, longest acronym in all of soccer. We just saw them beat the best team in the league, DC United, right? That was the game that just ended right now.
Yep.
And I think one of the interesting storylines that's not going to get picked up is Poku's contributions.
Yep.
All right. Here's a guy who moved to the United States from Ghana. He started in NPSL. All right. So the bottom of the soccer pyramid. He started there in NPSL. And then he got picked up by an NASL team, the Silverbacks. And then he moved on to NYCFC. Right. And this guy probably shouldn't have even gotten a start, but Lampard has been injured, right? The guy that everyone has been looking forward to, like, bringing in and, like, bringing brand awareness to NYCFC, you know, your typical dumb DP MLS deal. And you, like, and luckily, he's been injured, so Poku gets the start. And he steals the show. I mean, he had a goal and an assist, and like he's a huge fan favorite. Like people were, Pirlo was on the field, David Villa was on the field, and the crowd was chanting for Poku, a guy who was playing in NPSL not too long ago.
Yep, they were doing the "we're not worthy" bowing, which was great. The interesting thing is, this isn't the first game he's done this. He's been a revelation off the bench for this team. And the teams that they've played, the times that they've been playing the worst is when he has been on the bench. Whenever he comes off the bench, they've been playing poorly when he's not playing, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So whenever he comes off the bench, comes into the game, they're playing great. And I think the interesting next possible jump here, so he went from NPSL, NASL, MLS. If he kind of continues to grow and is amazing, what do you bet that NYCFC reach in and snap him out? And that's, you know, use that to like the next level. So it'd be like the ultimate underdog from the, you know, started from the bottom, now we're here.
Right. And he did it in a closed system. Like, that's the amazing part, is he's doing it in a country where you have one league actively working against that kind of player development.
Yeah, it will be it's Poku. Poku's fabulous. And it's interesting too, because in the US Open Cup,
game winner against RSL,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Following up on a conversation we had during last episode about wanting to get a new midfield player, depending, it's a complicated question. I mean, so when I say we, I of course mean the Timbers. Because we're part of the team. Right? He already did. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot about that.
Rich getting richer.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the Timbers needing a new dynamic player in the midfield, and trying to look at what type of player would work out well. Honestly, someone like Poku would be a great pickup. NYCFC, he's not going to let him go. There's no way, right? Part of me would say, you know, like you were saying earlier before we started recording the pod, if we could dangle more playing time ahead of him. But hell, if you're playing with Lampard, Lampard's going to play maybe 500 minutes this whole year. If you're playing behind Lampard, Lampard's always going to be injured. You're going to play a lot. So it will, it'll be interesting to see what happens come to this off season. If he's happy, you know, laying in the shadows of those three old guys, two, I suppose. Villa, he's up top, different position, and Villa's been playing out of his mind. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Poku coming the end of the season, if any team makes a move for him, because he's going to be a hot commodity. And you know what trade I would make? I would make a Poku for Wallace trade.
I think at this point, Portland is ready for a Wallace for anybody trade. I can really see that start building, because out of the big three that were injured, I think he's the one that's had the hardest time getting back to where he was. Like Will Johnson, he's not producing as much as he used to, but you can tell that there's a different character to the team when he's on the field.
Oh yeah.
Wallace, on the other hand, those intangible things like that, I don't think they're there for him. And if he's not contributing, like in terms of assists and goals, like I think a lot of Portlanders are ready for him to be gone.
And the thing is, he's still contributing a bit. He's still playing well. That's the thing. So he still has something to offer in this league, I think, enough that I feel like he is the player that we have that we could get the most out of him, I think, if we were to trade. That could offer another team something, but something that we have players now that I think could offer more than him, especially depending on where we end up sticking Milano. If we're going to stick in Milano on the wing, that's going to be his spot, you know, and then you have Asprilla behind him. If we try to stick a Milano up top, it gets more complicated. But anyway, I love me some Wallace. I do. He's done some great things for the team, but it's the same thing with Bruner and Horst. You know, they were great players, and then they got injured, and then when they came back, they kind of lost a step, and they just might need a new setting to continue playing well. Bruner, before he retired this last year, was great down in Houston. Horst is having a great time down in Houston. I feel like we'll trade him to New York, and he'll have 18 goals just like Cooper. But
no, because New York doesn't have Henri anymore, and like that's
a good point.
We can go down that road, but that's old news. Like, just see how Cooper's doing now. Is he still in Seattle? I mean, where is he at?
No, he's in Montreal, but he got injured. Okay. So poor guy. And the thing is,
class guy. Like that's the part that's fabulous. He, like, in terms of like just quality class guys, like Kenny Cooper is probably in that discussion towards the top, because he is one of the best, like most classiest players in the league.
Do you know what I would watch? I would watch the hell out of, in fact, actually. I remember watching this interview with Cooper sitting and drinking a glass of wine, talking about playing in Portland, that time he scored a half field goal and everything. But if you could get Kenny Cooper and Andrea Pirlo on like a weekly discussion conversation, like video, where they sat and drank wine and just talked about elite philosophical things. Like, everyone's always talking about Pirlo drinking wine. He's a huge wine fan. Yeah. But I think perfect person to partner him with would be Kenny Cooper.
Yeah, and it would be moderated by Rachel.
Holy shit! Rachel Banana!
Rachel Banana! Rachel Banana! So we talked about the ProRail news. Mm-hmm. We've slipped into some Timbers talk. And then Poku actually leading. I'm gonna give him the lead. I'm gonna say, you know, he contributed the most out of any player on that field. DC United today. I will say that maybe probably, like, so I was reading, you know, they do say his defensive effort is probably one of the reasons why he doesn't get as much time as he should. But I also saw, like, he's got a little bit of Songo syndrome, where, like, he just holds on to the ball way too long, too many touches. Like, there are at least two or three times where he kind of really, you know.
He should have
done something other than stand there and let, you know, five defenders get back while he's in the box. You know what I'm saying?
I think, well, that's the thing, though. I mean, so I guess it depends on what system you're trying to play in him. So the thing with NYCFC is that they have so many older players that the other players that aren't their age.
I'm sorry. are you honestly going to go down the road of they have so many older players, so they're going to need like more hold up play so they can hobble down the field. So Perlo can get his walker and meet up with the rest of the play.
So Lampard and Pirlo aren't going to be the runners, right? They're not going to be running up and down the flanks. So you need players who are going to do the dirty work, right? You need players who are going to be running up and down, which is something they're trying to make Mix into. They've tried to make Ned Grabovoy into, which he's kind of in that role. But if you're playing in that midfield alongside those guys, you need to do the dirty work. But if you're in a different setup that has another guy who is going to do the dirty work, say Diego Chara, then if you're playing alongside that, if you have a role to go forward, that's something that maybe he could really shine in. So another plug. So in the off season, when it happens, I called it first. We called it first. $2 domestics. You heard it here. Poku to the Timbers.
I would be in favor of that.
Yeah. So we got a couple options going forward on the next topic to discuss. So we mentioned the Timbers. We've been talking about the Timbers. The Timbers result against the Fire, which was a win, but judging by everyone's moaning and bitching online, you never would have been able to tell.
That sounds about right.
And it's something that I don't know. I get the feeling like, well, one, obviously, hashtag RCTID thrives on drama, right? Like, it does.
Right? Seriously, like, if you want any content about the team this week, you have to wade through about 1,000 tweets about scars.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives you an idea of the mindset of your Portland supporter.
I get the feeling that they would much rather lose but play well than win ugly. Like, that's...
Well, that's the mind of Merritt Paulson, right? Like, I mean, there's been multiple times that he's come out after like exhilarating loss and be like, "Hey, at least it was entertaining." And no, it's a bad product if you're not winning. Like, I would rather have a boring 1-0 win over an exciting 6-5 loss.
So the thing about that is I'm going to refer back to last week's episode when we discussed the shifting of the Timbers' style of play into something closer to something like Chelsea. We talked about it's more of a hoof and run, score on the counterattack. You know, it's not going to be super exciting. But what does Chelsea do? They win more often than not by 1-0 in not pretty soccer.
Which is making me regret in my EPL fantasy that I have quite a few Chelsea offensive players because they don't produce as much as other big money players that I could have picked up. But anyway, this is a domestic soccer podcast, but I just had to complain a little bit there. So go on.
After that game. Just the amount of bitching that there was. I mean, yes, okay, so like, it's not like I'm saying that I was happy with the play, but primarily the thing that I was concerned with is the number of points that we got, which was 3. And it was against, so it's a team that we should have beat. Should we beat them a little bit more handily? Yes. Like, we should have put maybe more goals in on them. But the thing is, it's a team that beat FC Dallas, like, last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and who is a team that
Wait, let me double-check that. That doesn't sound right.
I'm pretty sure. No, I think it doesn't sound right, right? But I'm pretty sure
they did. The week before, we drew San Jose.
No, the Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. Okay, yeah, Chicago did. Yeah. I thought you were talking about that.
Yeah, exactly. So the thing is, Chicago, and during that game, FC Dallas didn't look great. So, like, our level of play might have gotten dropped down to the level of Chicago, but we still managed to win. And obviously that game against FC Dallas isn't every week. It isn't every game. It might have been a fluke, but we beat them, FC Dallas. I don't know. It's just there was just so much negativity. Yeah. We don't even need to talk more about it. It was just that was one of the things that post game, I was like, seriously? Like, we're gonna. Oh, okay, we're all sad. I don't know why we're sad. We just won, but we're going to mope. Okay, we're going to whine.
Like, I will say, though, like, I mean, you've come to expect crappy soccer from the Timbers, especially this season. Like, you know, I remember you, actually. I was standing next to you in the preseason, the year, the first year Caleb Porter was here, and we were standing there, and it was like the first, attack, and there was great shape, and, like, they switched sides, you know, they switched fields, and, like, you went, and you were like, and you said, what did you say? You looked at me and you're like, I love this team. And it was like the first attack of preseason post John Spencer. So like we had had that like feeling where we were just like, oh, and we were so optimistic. And we were like, I can't believe this. Like we actually have a system. We have an identity. And, you know, here we are 3 years later, right? And it's like.
Well, I think obviously. You enjoy people enjoy more aesthetically pleasing soccer more, right? And obviously if we'd won that way, it would have been better. I just think at the end of the day, if the result to win, don't act like the sky is falling. I don't know. I'm trying to remember if I remember that. Was that during the Rose City Invitational?
Yeah, one of those stupid friendly tournaments, but
But you know, give it another 6 months. I'll come down on the other side of this conversation, and I'll say that people who just take crappy results when we're playing wrong are idiots. I'll flip and flop. Who knows?
I'm just making it up as I go along. Anyone who takes me as an authority on anything regarding soccer probably needs to have their
jokes,
you know,
on them.
discernment checked, I think. Here we go. So in terms of results last week, so let's talk about MLS before we move into the Open Cup. But in terms of MLS, Giovinco had an off week with only one assist. What a loser.
Right. Flop.
And in doing so, he actually allowed Kamara to make up ground, who had a brace. So Kamara led Columbus over Colorado with a brace.
Continuing the trend of us breaking into fantasy discussion whenever we talk about Giovinco or Kamara.
Yeah, I actually found a way. I took the 2-point penalty for an additional trade so I could get Giovinco on my team in addition to Kamara. Yeah.
4 point.
Is
four
it four point?
Point? Dang
four
it! Point. But no, last week, so Kamara had he has a bye week this week, so I got rid of him. But this last week, I thought I got rid of him. And then he went off. And so I end up watching the game or, you know, watching the updates being like, oh, my God, he scored twice. This is going to be awful. I should have kept him. And then remembered that I actually did have him on my team. So it was just a sudden shift of like, oh, this is incredible. I actually had the 230th best score the whole week out of 30,000 people. Like this last week was probably my best week ever in fantasy soccer.
Dude, that might be the nerdiest thing you've ever told me.
Let me continue. I can say that I'm actually top 500 out of 30,000 people this whole year long. I'm kind of a big deal. That's a top 1%.
Vote Bernie Sanders. Get rid of y'all. So those two, you know, those two are still going at it.
Yeah.
Vancouver destroyed Real Salt Lake, which kind of leads into the discussion about the Open Cup. But before we do that, the Galaxy.
Oh yeah,
they were very, very polite to the Sounders and only beating them 3-1.
Like, it could have been so much worse.
It should have been so much worse because the lineup that the Sounders put out was absurd. And then, but this is the best part, all right? This is up there with Mulholland heading the post. Like,
I forgot about that.
This is one of those like great moments in American soccer is when Chad Barrett celebrated his goal, right? That he scored in the first minute of the game. In his celebration, he gets injured and he has to be subbed off.
You know what's even better than that? So that was hilarious.
Which is great because I only saw that on the like the replay because I didn't tune in until about 5 minutes in, and here I am seeing the Sounders are up 1-0, and they had already used a sub, and I'm like, what kind of nonsense did I miss? And then, like, things started rolling in, and I just lost it. I started laughing because I'm like, oh man, maybe the Sounders are actually going to pull this out. And then I saw that that was how they got that one goal, and I was relieved that the Galaxy was still going to pull a Galaxy on him. So.
Well, and so the thing, so on one hand, I don't relish in injuries. I will say, you know, I feel bad, but him getting an injury, celebrating just somehow perfectly encapsulates their recent form, right? Like, it's just, it's everything that can go wrong has been going wrong for them. The thing is that he wasn't even, like, doing something crazy to celebrate. He was just running.
Yeah, it was, you just know? Like, run. He didn't jump over the boards onto concrete to run to the crowd, you know, and slip, which is, I'm personally amazed that when players do that, like, they don't slip and die. Like, they don't, like, they just slip and die. Like, that's what I expect for that to happen, you know, because I have the body of a fat Bambi, and whenever I play soccer and I'm wearing my spikes and, like, I go onto the sidewalk, I slip all over the place like it's a sheet of ice,
and Bambi on ice.
And then I just, like, feel broken and dejected, and I'm like, I am done with this sport forever, hand me a quesarito. And then so I'm just, like, shocked when these, like, professional athletes do it, as if, like, somehow my ability is somehow comparable to their own. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's that mindset of, like, just a dumb man on the edge of 30. Like,
how do they do this? When I do this, it doesn't work. So something I will put up to make people who like Chad Barrett, and maybe Chad Barrett himself, I know he listens to this podcast, feel better. Hi, Chad. Is that he's not the first person to injure himself celebrating in the MLS. And people have done it before him in much more spectacular fashion. I don't know if people remember this. This was, I think this is when I was living in Salt Lake. Fabian Espindola scores a goal. This is right after, I think he's coming back from injury. Scores a goal, and to celebrate, does a cartwheel backflip. And when he lands, fractures his ankle. And misses the next 2 months, which I could not even. I remember at the time it was so this was ages ago. This was while the Timbers were still in USL. It was really following RSL, and I was just like, "How? Why would you? You're coming back from an injury. Why would you risk flipping?" And sure enough, he breaks his ankle. So he's not the first person to injure himself celebrating, and it wasn't, as far as ranking goes, he doesn't take the top, but it was. Like
still
you said,
pretty bad.
Still pretty bad.
And in that game, it should be noted that the LA Galaxy, you know, Robbie Keane showed up, Dos Santos showed up as well. So
yeah, Sebastian Legette.
They each had one goal and one assist. Keane and Dos Santos. So
that partnership is going to be scary going forward. I'm not sure. We'll see how it is on this week. The Galaxy on the road are terrible. Especially on the road in hot Texas, are awful. When they went to Houston, I think they lost 4-0. So they're going to FC Dallas this week. I think it's FC Dallas. I don't know. It's another hot team, though, temperature-wise, not form. Although if it is FC Dallas, it is form. Anyway, we'll see if they fold on the road again. I hope not from a fantasy perspective because I have Keenan Legette, but we'll see.
Yeah. So then that leads us into the Open Cup, right? So
yep.
We actually had the semifinal games this last Wednesday. And Real Salt Lake actually continued their form of suck. And and well, like the best fallout from this, all right? Okay, so first off, like about Real Salt Lake, they traded Saborío.
Well, have you, do you know why? Have you heard the scuttlebutt about this?
All right, go, fill me in.
Okay, so Alvaro Saborío, Costa Rican, he went to the wedding of Keylor Navas, who is the Costa Rican goalie who plays for Real Madrid. So he went down to Costa Rica for this wedding. He, I guess, got drunk, missed his flight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of rumors about, he
a plane altercation, right?
Yeah, that's it. So he missed his original flight, I think, and then on his next flight home, he got drunk on the plane and got in a fight. And then he missed a couple days of practice because of that, which Jeff Cassar, RSL's head coach, was like, what? No. So they've kind of been butting heads about that. So I think that's one of the reasons that led to him being traded. As well as, you know, I mean, he's not young anymore. As far as
33, right?
Yeah, which I mean, obviously, isn't super old, but I think RSL.
Not when you have Poku there to hold up the place. When Poku can come down with his auger. That's the real problem is that they didn't trade him to NYCFC, right? Because then he'd be the young buck.
So I think that led into them trading it. The unfortunate thing though is that João Plata, their young explosive player who's been great for him, pulled out, was a late scratch before this US Open Cup game. Right before the game started, he pulled a hamstring, which is one of the reasons they kind of weren't great going forward in that game, which also means poor health, that he won't be available when they play the Timbers, which would be great for a Timbers fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I stopped you mid-rant about RSL and their recent form of suck.
They just suck. But yeah, so what ended up happening is they lost 3-1 in the Open Cup to Kansas City.
And who's a damn good team, though?
Kansas City is looking really good. And because the biggest contributor, in going back to fantasy, is Failhaber. I mean, if I didn't have Failhaber on my fantasy roster, like, I would be nowhere this season.
Yeah.
Because with how dumb I am in terms of, like, trades and rosters. But I knew that Failhaber was doing good, so I didn't trade him, and I have been rewarded. And the thing is, it's all competitions. It's not just MLS. Like,
oh, yeah. No, he's great anywhere he plays.
He scored a goal. He had an assist. On the other, you know, so he's not somebody that you should be taking lightly. And the fact that he doesn't have like a U.S. men's national team call up is absurd.
Well, the thing about that is I wonder if he's the type of player who's actually benefited from not being called up, because it's one of those things that the consistency that he gets from game in, game out, if he gets called, say Klinsmann ever pulls his head out of his ass in regards to Failhaber, when he gets the call up, he's not going to play probably, right? He'll warm the bench on some qualifier.
And then Kansas City fans will start hashtagging free Failhaber in his...
Yeah, and so the thing is, what that means, though, is that suddenly Failhaber is... I mean, he's training with upper-level players and, you know, in training, and that's good. But if he's going to go somewhere and not play consistently and not really, you know, it's better probably for him in Kansas City if he continues to keep playing for them and running the show. It's the same thing with Lee Wynn, who I am a huge fan of. But whenever he gets called up to the U.S. Men's National Team, he only ever gets maybe 15 minutes, which he looks great, doesn't get to contribute that much time-wise off the bench, and New England really misses him. So, I mean, it's on one hand, I understand wanting to play for your country. Like, I do. I really get that. But if you're not going to get enough play, yeah, it's probably better for Benny. Yeah. I'm sure that makes him feel better. Benny, I know that you listen to the show as well.
Man, we're like the Arrested Development of podcasts, right? Where, you know, we don't get the ratings with everyone out, like with the average Joe, but we are like we are the cult favorite of all the people in the industry. And that is where it's at.
That counts.
And I think if we spread this lie enough and we repeat it enough that all of MLS players like listen to us and they love us, maybe people will actually start believing it.
They'll start piping it in the locker room ahead of games.
And you know what? Maybe we'll sign a contract with Netflix 10 years down the road, and we do a season that everyone regrets.
I guess I'd be okay doing that. I don't know. I'll see what I'm doing 10 years down the road. I got something. You know, it depends on what time.
Right.
We'll say 10. I got something at 11. I don't know.
So that was the one semifinal game, and then the second one is Philadelphia versus Chicago. Really? So. Yep. This one was actually going on at the same time as the Portland Thorns game. And the Portland Thorns game was unwatchable because of the stream. Like, I actually just gave up on it, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch the U.S. Open Cup game. But then when I started watching the Open Cup game, it was unwatchable for a completely different reason. it was as good as you would expect Philadelphia versus Chicago to be.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch it. I was trying to watch the Thorns game. I had it on after your prompt in Espanol. I've been doing a lot of Spanish studying, and initially I didn't think I was going to be able to watch the game, so I put it on in the background while I was doing Spanish. And then the Thorns game just crapped out. Fix it in WSL. Anyway, and then I was just like, you know what? Whatever. This is probably a sign that I should actually be doing homework. But the thing is, though, about the Philly-Chicago game, one of my favorite players in the league, which is interesting because he's a former Sounders player, Sebastian Letou.
Yeah,
something about him. French Cooper, man. I don't know. I really like what he brings on the field, and I feel like he's an example of a player that got a bad rap because he was on the Sounders, and when he left, he was able to do, you know, like, it's, I like him despite him being a Sounder, you know, a former Sounder.
When I was actually in a conversation last night about the Open Cup final, and I was being kind of pessimistic about it, where it's like, man, Kansas City is just going to destroy Philadelphia. And, one of the guys I talked to on Twitter, Haas, he was saying one of the keys to actually, like, succeeding for Philadelphia is whether or not Letou shows up. Because if Letou shows up, like, they legitimately have a chance to win.
Well, him combined with Maidana and Nogueira when he's playing well. Like, they have, but it just really feels like those other players are kind of hit and miss. But whenever Letou is playing well, other players around him play well. Yeah, I think he's a key player. He holds the club records for goals and assists, I'm pretty sure, as well as wins. He's just been phenomenal for him. I like to see him do well. You know, it's too bad that he ruined my prediction that the Fire would win the Open Cup. But if it means that Sebastian Letou is a little bit happy, I'm okay with that, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're a loser.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
That's my only response. I'm just like, eh, you're a loser. maybe that's the sign that it's time to go to viewer questions.
Well, I mean, as a loser, am I allowed to?
You're allowed. Okay. This is one of the most contentious questions ever asked. And it's fitting that our friend Dylan Higgins, fantasy baseball writer, decided to make this the question to ask us. He's totally trolling us here.
Oh, yeah.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
What? Well, it depends on what you gain from the classification of a sandwich. Does it change the way you eat it or the amount you enjoy it?
Man, you're not even wasting time. Like, in the definition of a sandwich, I'm sitting here thinking, like, a sandwich is a piece of meat between two pieces of bread.
Oh, now you're going to say two buns. And I was going to say, hey-o.
No, but you got, like, it's two pieces of bread, and you got meat between it. You got some sort of a filling. So I think, by definition, if you accept and assume that definition is correct, a hot dog then would be a sandwich.
What I would say, and what I would question, though, is what is a label or a name if not other people's trying to tell us how to participate in reality and enjoy something? So I think the real question is, why do you need to know this? Just eat the hot dog. Enjoy it.
So, okay, so you're not even going to attempt to answer Dylan's question is what it comes down to. You're going to cop Dylan. Out and not answer the question.
No, okay, fine.
You don't want to be repressed by the sandwich oppressors. Like, yeah. you don't even want to get into that conversation.
No person. No, it's a sandwich. I agree. Yeah, meat between two pieces of bread. It's the same thing. It's Yeah, no, sandwich. Yep, I definitely, I fall down on that side as well.
Because I've had some people tell me that since the two slices of bread are often, like, connected,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, they consider that not part of, that doesn't, that is their qualification for it not being a sandwich. But then I'm pointing out, like, hoagies, Philly cheesesteaks.
Totally.
They're connected. But we still call them sandwiches, so I don't know why you wouldn't say that about hot dogs.
Well, what we, I guess, I mean, is there like a sandwich naming convention chart somewhere? Like, you know, what we need is a flow sheet, flow chart. That'll be the first piece of merch that comes out of this.
I'm actually gonna make a hot dog scarf.
So, a hot dog scarf in for a set.
I'm going to make a hot dog scarf. It's actually going to be a hot dog jumping over a shark on a scarf, and I'm going to post it on a Scarf Squad. That's what I'm going to do.
And the other side will say, nice scarf.
Nice scarf. Is there anything else? Like, what else happened in soccer?
I got a bit of a rant about the Premier League.
Well, that's not domestic.
It is, though, actually.
All right, go for it.
The relationship between the Premier League and MLS, and why it seems like people need to shit all over MLS in order to enjoy the Premier League.
Oh, you're going the Euro snob route?
Well, I'm not saying, I don't know. The thing is, though, so people who every year, this time when the Premier League starts up again, you know, you get people who even people who follow the MLS the rest of the year, once it clicks over, it's just immediately starting shitting all over the MLS in favor of their European team. Yeah. I don't understand. Well, I mean, I guess fundamentally, I don't understand why someone needs to tear down someone else in order to enjoy their own. I don't know. And it's even a little bit different than, like, I don't know. It's just, I was spending a lot of time shaking my head on Twitter, which, I mean, I suppose is,
That's normal.
But it's just, you know, people who, yeah, it's, and especially when they're, it actually, I think what it is when it's displaced anger, I guess. I don't know. When their team loses in the Premier League, they turn around and just shit all over the MLS in response. Mm-hmm. I won't name names. It's just, it's something that I've seen consistently from many people over the years. It's just, enjoy MLS for what it is. Yeah. It's soccer in this.
And I think that's ultimately what it comes down to is that it's apples and oranges. And
yeah,
and that's different. And that's why it's one of those things where, for me, like, I love trolling MLS, even though I give them an obscene amount of money, you know, and I have over the last 5 years. It's that since the Timbers have gone up, and it gone up as if they earned it. No, but, like, it's one of those things where, you know, I pay all this money to MLS, but I don't hold, like, this illusion that somehow it's going to become at all comparable to what the EPL is. And so for me, it's like, when I hear Don Garber say those sorts of things, like, oh, we're going to be a world-class league, and yada, 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 and they're like, look, we have all these players that you used to pay attention to in 2006. Like, it's one of those things where they're asking for people to make fun of their league. And I think one of the reasons why it happens when EPL starts up again is because this was in our very first episode, when we were talking about how crappy that weekend was in MLS.
Yeah.
And one of the contributing factors was that the EPL title race was still, like, was at its peak. And we were watching a league where that really, a lot of the teams have no history. And a lot of them are only there because of quote-unquote modern football. I'm looking at you, New York City. And it's one of those things where, in the league, like, they don't even have to play. They don't even have to try, and they're going to get into the playoffs. And then, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll be exciting in the playoff run, but right now, it's who cares about MLS? And when you have that kind of, like, a comparison where you're like, oh, here's these teams that have been around for over a century playing each other, in these actual title races and promote and relegation battles that really do matter, and then I'm watching the Colorado Rapids in an empty stadium, and I'm supposed to care. You know what I'm saying?
I hear it, and I know that. I mean, like you said, I mean, I suppose on the level we're guilty of it too. It's not even that I'm. I don't know. It just seems. I don't know. People are just so ready to turn and shit on MLS. I don't know. It's somehow the idea that the Premier League is everything more than whatever the MLS could possibly mean to someone else. I don't know. It just seems overly negative.
Yeah.
You know, and it's. Yeah, I mean, it's a complicated answer, like you said, and
the thing is, like, for me, as somebody who watches like EPL, you know, like I'm not even gonna compare like the way I feel for a team like Arsenal, and like the way I feel about the Portland Timbers.
You know what I'm saying?
They're
totally separate.
It's a completely different experience. Like, yeah. Arsenal is my horse, and they're the ones that I watch when I watch EPL. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of that is because I just fell in love with Thierry Henry. Like, he was just a great player to watch. And because I had that, like, I loved watching Arsenal, and they were so entertaining to watch during those, like, the, what, 07, 08 season? Mm-hmm. Like, 06, 07, 08, like, it just sucked me in. And because of that, I ended up falling in love with local soccer. You know, like, my bachelor party, my brother yeah. bought us tickets to go watch the Timbers play the California Victory. and the Timbers Army was pretty much just 107, and Timber Jim was still running around banging on a drum. And like
Timber Jim.
And like it was one of those things where my love for the Timbers didn't even like really pick up until I moved out of the area. And then I kinda had that like regional pride like start swelling up, and it was like manifested through the soccer team. Right. And then when I got back and like they're in MLS and I was one of the lucky ones to get season tickets. The MLS experience with the Timbers, it just like was something I could have never imagined in a million years. Right.
Well, and that seems like that's the way that it should flow into. I supporting multiple teams and following multiple leagues should be synergistic, to use a corporate uh-huh. buzzword. Right. Like it should flow into each other. You know, it's something about you loving Arsenal since 07 shouldn't be a reason why you hate the league. I don't know. It's just, you know, and agree, it's the same way. You know, like when I watch EPL, I follow Everton, you know, for a number of reasons. Tim Howard, Philip Neville, a couple of, you know, you can get into it, but it's different thing than supporting the Timbers, and my appreciation of a team over there doesn't detract yeah. from the way I view this league. I don't know. I just got a little fed up with all the negativity.
Yeah, and it's a completely different, yeah, it's just a completely different form of fandom, you know,
yeah.
where it's like, yeah. this is your local team, this is your, like, big league team, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's completely different. And this, you know, and I will say that, like, I am guilty of it for the reasons that I've mentioned previously, where it's like, you know, Don Garber doesn't need to act like he's this great being bringing about, like, this world-class league that's going to somehow even be comparable to the EPL or the Spanish Premier League. You know,
it's the interesting thing about that
Spanish
is,
Premier League, La Liga. Yeah.
Let them know that we changed their name.
Yeah, Spanish Premier League.
Spanish Premier League. The interesting thing about that is, though, is so the stance that Garber and the league takes on this, if they took
a more reserved approach,
then
they have 100 years of, like, they have, like, a 100-year head start, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it would be, like, one of the Japanese baseball teams or leagues sitting there saying, you know what, we are going to be Major League Baseball. You know, we are going to like surpass the New York Yankees and Boston Red Sox. Like, that's just an absurd thing to say, you know?
But if he doesn't say it, then people say that there's no ambition and that this is a Mickey Mouse league. That's the, you know, he gets burned either way, I think. Although I agree with what you're saying. I can just already imagine, you know, and heck, and actually even before the league started signing some of these players that you used to care about in 2006, as you say. Before they actually signed players like that, you get a lot of people around the league saying, where's the ambition in this league? Where's the... poor Don Garber, he's screwed either way he goes. I mean, I don't feel too bad for him, but...
Well, I think a lot of that just comes from the fact that, like, currently it feels like unless you are a big market team, the salary cap doesn't matter. Or, you know, like, it's one of those things where what's the point of having a salary cap if you're just going to artificially create the big market advantages anyway through just recreating DP rules and whatever? Because it's just, I don't know. I'm sorry, that's a whole different conversation. But you know what I'm saying? Like, why bound? Yeah. Why put these boundaries on the rest of the league who actually, these teams, like Portland, have high revenue, they put butts in the seats, but they're not able to use that money and do whatever they want to do because they have to abide by all these stupid rules that are just completely there so Garber can just arbitrarily change and decide who's going to go where depending on who, what market needs it the most. And this season, it's LA Galaxy and Toronto. Like, and it's just that clear.
Oh, it's because they're a bloody big deal. Yeah.
Sorry, so there was my rant. And that wasn't even, feels, that wasn't even that good. That wasn't even that good of one, man.
Good rant. That's a good rant. I'll give it.
Anyway, support local soccer. Like, support local soccer. Go to your teams. Enjoy them. Give them money. Watch their games. Buy their merch. Maybe even paint TIFO. Sing songs. Go and just be a part of your local team. And before you do that, watch EPL and eat some eggs and bacon.
That sounds delightful.
That's the dream life. That's what I do. Like, it's one of those things where before the MLS starts, you wake up, you cook some eggs and bacon, and you watch whichever Big Four game they're putting on NBC that morning.
That sounds
Because I don't have cable, so.
And of course, you would never try to find an illegal stream online because that's breaking the rules. And NSA, I know you're listening. I know you're a listener.
You don't go find an illegal stream because it's far easier to find someone who's willing to share their password because they're not going to watch soccer at 5 in the morning.
Losers, them.
Anyway.
Well, if you're still listening, dear listeners, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't even think we got to predictions, but you know what? I don't know. I'll do it real quick.
Let's do predictions.
Let's
see what we got coming up. As we both look at our phones, that's what the silence is.
San Jose and Colorado. Ignore that game tomorrow. New York Red Bulls versus Toronto, Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, 4:00. That will be one to watch. And also, yeah. Sporting Kansas City versus Vancouver.
That's going to be a good game.
Ooh, and actually FC Dallas and Galaxy.
Yep.
Wow, Saturday's a really good Saturday. You should probably plan on watching soccer on Saturday. Yeah, New England versus Houston. That's not entirely bad.
Seattle, Orlando, entirely still depleted Seattle team. Although I hear,
can we take a moment to laugh at the nationally covered games this week? So honestly, look at the Saturday matchups. You got New York Red Bulls versus Toronto FC, New England versus Houston, Sporting Kansas City versus Vancouver, FC Dallas versus LA Galaxy, and then RSL versus Portland. Neither of those teams are in form, but when they play each other, they're usually pretty classic.
Good games.
And then the night before, the nationally televised game, San Jose and Colorado. No one in their right mind is going to enjoy watching that game.
Worthy of the English SAP announcing.
And then on Sunday, hey, I actually really enjoyed that. And one of those guys is a former Timber. Kip pointed that out. I'd have to find his name. I can't remember.
to be discussed in the next episode.
I have one app open right now. I can't go research that right now. But it was really enjoyable. I actually really enjoyed the SAP announcers.
As long as you don't mind drastic volume fluctuation. That's the thing. It's just there's random yelling. Like, it's someone messing with the ducking. Like, it's just like, and all of a sudden the green rectangle is divided by the white bullet. And oh, my God, it's really great. It's, you know, it's.
Yeah.
I don't,
anyway. But that's MLS Live, man. I was watching a game earlier today, and, like, I thought I had it at a decent level. And then halftime hit, and then the commercials were just, like, I felt like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future when he strums the guitar and it, like, throws him back.
All of a sudden,
that's what
Simon
I felt
Ford,
like.
Simon Ford, yeah.
So, and then, okay, so the San Jose versus Colorado game is worth laughing at. And then Sunday, like, the English-speaking, nationally televised matches are Seattle versus Orlando.
Chicago, man.
Well, that's why they're playing. It's going to be, yeah, I mean,
it was supposed to be Kaká versus Dempsey, right?
Kaká,
right?
Versus Dempsey in a full stadium. Like,
yeah.
You know, but
then
the closer is Philadelphia and Chicago again. Like, oh. That game was so unwatchable on Wednesday, and now we get it again on Sunday. So
I'm gonna call
this
it though,
one. This
Mike
one
McGee
is
hat trick for Chicago.
This is
Mike McGee hat trick.
No, Lavelle Palmer all the way.
I'll take it.
So yeah, so there's your games. So the key to surviving this weekend in soccer is to, for MLS at least, to avoid Friday and Sunday nationally televised games. And steal MLS Live from somebody for Saturday, because that is going to be worth watching.
And, you know, I'm not saying this is what I do MLS Live, because I also know you listen to the pod. But if you have MLS Live and you're worried about blackouts, there's an app on Chrome called Ola, which is a VPN that you can say, oh, hey, look, maybe I'm in Mexico now. Mexico conveniently doesn't have any restrictions on viewing. So, hypothetically speaking, if you happen to do this, say that you're in Mexico, then watch the nationally televised games on Sunday, you could watch it, despite the blackouts. Just saying.
I do not condone that behavior, but if somebody chose to do that, is how they can do it. And what's the app called again?
Ola.
Ola. All right.
It's an extension for Google Chrome.
Okay.
Yeah, so of course, yeah, I don't condone that. That's awful. It's just intellectually, you know, it's a stimulating thing to consider how one hypothetically may go about doing that.
Yeah.
On that note, we will bring this episode to a close. Thank you, as always, for listening. Send us some questions. Maybe we'll do a little bit, we'll try to be a bit better about letting people know we're recording ahead of time. I almost did today, and then I didn't. That's the whole story.
Right, that's pretty much kind of how it works. But yeah, so I think we're gonna keep doing this still, hopefully. Now that we got this we got the setup figured out, so as I relocate, we can actually do this in different locations, so I think we're gonna work out and we'll be able to keep doing it. So anyway, peace out, support local soccer, buy some scarves or something.
In for a set.
Later.
Talk to you later.